Okay, we are going to be on page 281 in our continue book. And if you are paying attention, we are on our last section. And I was telling Les and the girls there before you guys came that this is supposed to be a 14-week course, and we started on September the 22nd. So I've stretched it out to almost a year long. Imagine that. Anyway, we're just using this as a guideline, right? Okay, so we're going to be on section or chapter 14, page 281 in our book.
Good morning.
And we're on the section that's entitled Continue. So that's where we're going to be. So while you're finding your place, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get started. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be in church today, Lord, for those who have made their way out today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much for the sunshine, the beautiful weather we've got. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you would be with us today as we study your word. Guide and direct me as I teach, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd be at the Sunday school classes as well and help the teachers there. Pray, Lord, you'd work in the hearts of the children, Lord, and just draw them to you, Lord. I pray that those who are unsaved would be would come to the saving knowledge of you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, ask you that you would be with those who are still on their way out, be with those who are unable to be here through or due to work commitments and things, Lord. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church to grow in our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to be a light and a witness in this place that you've put us at, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to serve you faithfully, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so as I said, we're on our final section here. And I'm still deciding where to go from here. And I will reiterate that anytime that anyone's got a topic or questions or anything, I am always open to those. And if you don't want to come to me personally, you can always stick them in the offering box and I'll get them that way. But anyway, we can do that. And if no one comes up with a topic or a question or anything, then I get to decide, right? So that's what we'll do. Why'd you make that face?
Sorry.
Anyway, so anyway, that's what we've got going on. And I offer that up because if there's things that you guys have questions about or things that you're interested in, then I would like to address those. Simple as that, right? The things that you guys are interested in and such. So we can do that. But anyway, we finished last week with living in light of eternity. And so we were looking at things that, I guess, how the entire thing is going to wrap up. We know the end from the beginning because God has put it in his word. And so we're thankful to know how the story ends. But today we are in this final section where, I guess, in a way, it's just an encouragement to continue in the things that we have learned, continue faithfully on the road that we have began. And we're going to see here in a minute that our desire should be to finish the race, right? To finish well. So anyway, at the bottom of page 281, it says, congratulations, you're on the home stretch for the continue course. We've come a long way in the past 13 studies, or however many it's been. So in this final study, we're going to see the importance of not just beginning, but finishing your Christian life with faithfulness. And so like the Apostle Paul, we want to finish our life still faithful and looking forward to meeting the Lord. So we have here 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 in our book. And it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so 2 Timothy was written at the end of Paul's life, at the end of his ministry, and he's encouraging a young pastor to keep the faith, to keep going. And as he said here in this passage, he says, I am ready to be offered. I'm okay with the way things are panning out, that God has used me for what he has desired to. I've accomplished what he gave me to do, and I am content to pass on to the next phase, basically. And so he said that I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that should be the desire for every believer. That I have seen so many Christians, how do I put this delicately? I've seen so many Christians suffer shipwreck. That'd be a good way to put it. I've seen so many Christians start well but not finish well. And I've shared with you guys in the past, even several pastors that I had over me are no longer even in ministry anymore. Some of them's not even in church anymore. And that's a sad thing. In the church that I grew up in, there were three of us saved the night that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm the only one of the three that is still in church. Out of all of the ones that I grew up in youth group and things with, most of them are no longer serving God, and most of them's not in church. And that's nothing against God. That's just the reality of just because you have a good start don't mean you're going to have a good finish. And so I've seen them that had a good start and then fell away. I've seen them that ran well for a season and then fell away. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, if I have my reference right there, just a few verses down from where Paul had said that he had ran his, fought the good fight, and he had kept the finished his course and kept the faith, that you have that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so there is a contrast that's there that Paul began, whenever he came to the Lord on the Damascus Road, he began and he continued faithfully throughout his entire life until he finished well. It wasn't up and down and in and out. It wasn't that he made 10 steps forward and 8 steps back. Instead, it was a life of gradual, continual, faithful persistence. That'd be a good way to put it. And the Lord never calls us to perfection, but instead he works in our lives to draw us to himself and to transform us. And so it is a life of patient continuance. We've often said that the Christian life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, that we run this race with patience, the Bible says, Paul tells us. And so our desire here is that we continue. It is my desire that a year from now, everyone is still faithfully serving God. 5 years from now, everyone that's here is still faithfully serving God. 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries is coming, everyone here is still faithfully serving God. That is our desire, and that's my desire. I want to, at 60, be as faithful as, more faithful, actually, than I am currently. If I live to be 80, I want to still be serving God faithfully. I don't want my children to one day look back and say, I remember growing up in church, Dad used to do these things. I don't want to be a used to be. Okay, I've seen way too many of those. And I want my grandchildren to know the same me that my children knew or knows, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully better. Hopefully I make progress. I don't want to stagnate here, but I want to still be continuing faithful. Okay? And so that is my desire, and I hope that's each of your desires as well, is that you continue in the faith. That whenever we get to the end of this life, we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Okay? And how tragic it is whenever people fall away, whenever they're used to bees. Okay? And by the way, for anyone who is a used to be, they can be again. Right? That failure is never permanent. We see that many times throughout Scripture, that just because someone does fall away, just because someone does have a time where they are unfaithful, it doesn't mean that has to be permanent. And some people have the idea, well, I messed up, I can't go back because what are they going to think of me? Or, you know, will God even have me or whatever? There's all kinds of doubts and fears that arise in your mind. But our desire should be to end well. And so if we have laid down on the track somewhere, there's always time to get up and continue going. Okay? We see in the life of David, he had several times that he had hiccups in his life. But the great thing about David is that he had a pattern of returning to the Lord. Whenever he'd fall away, failure was never permanent. We've talked in the past about Apostle Peter, how whenever Christ was being tried and whenever he was crucified, Peter denied him. And then after the Lord rose from the dead, even after that, Peter said, I go fishing. He says, I'm going back to my old life. I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. And the Lord came and restored him. And we see that Peter ended up finishing well, didn't he? And so that's my encouragement to all of us, is that we finish well, that we finish faithful, that we mind ourselves, that whenever we see ourselves starting to drift, when we see ourselves starting to grow cold and indifferent, whenever the things of God no longer have the appeal that they once did, allow there to be some lights going off, some warning lights on the dashboard or whatever, saying, hey, there's something that's going on. I'm drifting too far, and I need to return to Him. Because it's amazing how it can be slow and gradual that we drift. And I think it's great that we take stock every now and then and say, how is my relationship with God? How is my walk with Him? Am I where I used to be? Have I made progress from there, or have I regressed from there? And so I think it takes attention for us. If we are to continue, it takes constant attention for us to say, how is my walk with God? Because there's so many things that can draw us away from Him, so many things that can distract. And just life in general sometimes has a tendency to get us sidetracked, get us a little, as I said already, distracted from what's really important and chasing other things. And so there's times that we recorrect that we get back on track. Make sense to everyone? And so I encourage you that your goal be to finish well and to monitor as you're going along and saying, am I progressing in the Christian life? Not am I perfect, because you're not going to be perfect until you're in heaven, but am I progressing? Am I still walking with Him? Do I still have a love for Him, a love for the things of God? Am I still walking with Him? And if not, where did I leave Him behind? There's an illustration that's often been used, that whenever Jesus was 12 years old, we're familiar with the story, right? Mm-hmm. That when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem, Him and Mary and Joseph, and there was crowds of people that would go back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever the feasting was over with, they left Jerusalem, they were headed back to Nazareth, and they'd already went a couple days' journey, and Mary and Joseph got together, and they said, where's Jesus at? And it was one of those things, everybody looking like, I thought He was with you. No, He's not with me. And so they start going through the family, and is He over there with cousin Elizabeth? Is He over here with this one or that one? Nope, no one's seen Him. Oh no, we have left the Son of God behind, right? And so they spent quite a bit of time going and looking for Jesus. They found Him in the temple, teaching the teachers, right? But the illustration that I'm bringing from that is they had gone a pretty good distance before they realized that Jesus was no longer with them. And I think that we do the same things in our lives. We get through our day-to-day routines of raising kids and doing jobs and cleaning a house and paying bills and doing all these different things, that before we know it, that we have gotten away from the Lord, that the things of God have lost their appeal, that we are letting some things slip, and we don't even realize it until we get down the road to the next town or two over, right? And so whenever we do realize that, it's time to go back and find out where we left Him behind. Okay? So I want us to continue. So anyway, let's go ahead and back to the book, or we'll not finish it. We'll keep it going for another 6 months. But anyway, the Christian life is not just a journey of knowing facts. It is a journey of knowing, loving, and serving God for a lifetime. Now, there's a great truth that's in that passage, in that small paragraph or sentence. If we make our Christian life just simply about knowing facts, if we read the Bible just for an education, just for trivia matters, basically, then we are missing the boat. Because what we are doing is we are seeking to know Him. Okay? I think it was Paul that said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, I believe is what it says. He says, I'm seeking not just to know about Him, I'm seeking to know Him. And so why are we studying the Bible? Why are we praying? Why are we learning about Him? It's because the more that we learn of Him, the better that we know Him, the more our faith grows in Him, the better we can walk with Him and serve Him. We want to know Him, right? And so in this study before us, we will see three vital areas in which you must continue. And so you guys have been around for long enough now, that probably means 3 areas, 3 weeks, right? That what we're doing? We shall see. So continue in the Word. The baseline for being a disciple of Christ is continuing in His Word. I think a good measure for how we are doing spiritually. A good gauge, if you will, is what is our relationship with the Word of God. Okay? Because you can't have a close relationship with the God of the Word if you don't have a close relationship with the Word of God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people have very little biblical knowledge. They have very little relationship with the Bible. And they say, oh, I love God. And it's so shallow and it doesn't actually have any transformative power in their life. They're not actually growing and walking with Him. It's just a warm, fuzzy concept rather than a reality in their life. Because you have no depth, you have no growth unless you are growing in your knowledge of Him. We looked at last week in the preaching hour that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So a lot of people are like, oh, my faith is so weak. Well, what's your relationship with His Word like? Because as we learn about Him, as we read His Word and we see who He is, we see what He's like, we see what He's done for others and how that He has shaped this world and even shaped our lives, it allows us to grow in our trust toward Him. We see that He is trustworthy, right? He is faithful and we can be faithful to Him. And so we need to have a good relationship with His Word. And it can't just be casual, okay? We can't just be approaching our Christian life, and I might be getting ahead of myself here a little bit. We can't just be approaching the Christian life as, okay, I've got my checklist. We've talked about that quite a bit, right? Well, I'm supposed to read the Bible, so okay, well, I'm going to read so many chapters a day. Well, I did that. Well, did you pay attention to the word you're reading, or did your eyes just go across the page? Because I'm guilty of that sometimes.
Yes.
Right? And I will challenge you, it's much more important to actually take in and digest what you read than just to be able to check off that you read something. You're better off to read a verse and be able to understand it, meditate on it, and contemplate it, and allow it to have a work in your life than you are to go through 10 chapters and not even have a clue what you read whenever you're done. And I'm not saying that condemningly. I'm saying that from experience, that there's been times that I've read multiple chapters and whenever I got done, I'm like, what book was that even in? Right? Because you do get busy and it's like, okay, this is my Bible reading time. I'm going to read my Bible. Well, I read my Bible, but I don't know what I read in my Bible. And so my encouragement in that is read for understanding, not out of obligation. Okay? And so you have a desire. You're saying, I'm coming to God's Word because I need something from Him. I'm coming because I need fed. I need His Word. His Word does something in my life. It does something in my heart. It orients my day. It orients my mind. It equips the Holy Spirit in me because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? And so whenever we have the right relationship with His Word and we are feeding on His Word, okay, then we are going to grow. We need a right relationship. Anyway, I probably got ahead of myself a little bit in this, but that's okay. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I want to take that passage just for a second and define something for just real quick here. He's not saying that the ones that continue in His word are the ones that's truly saved. He's saying the ones that continue in His word are His disciples. You realize there's a difference between being saved and being a disciple? Okay. Being a disciple is someone who is a student. And I've said in the past that salvation is free, but discipleship can be costly. You remember me saying that? And so Jesus talked about counting the cost. If you'll be my disciple, then count the cost. He talks about taking up the cross and following Him. We'll see that verse in a minute, I believe. And so anyway, He says it's the ones who continue in His word that have a desire, that have a hunger, that desire a thirst for the things of God, that are truly His disciples, the ones who are students, the ones that's going to learn, the ones that's going to grow. Okay? Now we realize there are some that's going to be saved and never actually take it seriously afterward. They truly believe in Jesus as a Savior, but they never allow that to get down into their innermost parts and have a transforming work in their lives. Okay? And we talked about, I think last week, in what is it, 1 Corinthians 3, where some are going to be saved, yet so as by fire. Those are the ones that stay carnal. Those are the ones that never grow. Those are the ones that are saved but never disciples. Okay? And you say, oh, okay, well, I can do that. I just want to get to heaven. Well, you don't fully understand who Christ is, and you don't understand what he is offering. Okay? Because the life of a disciple, the life of someone who's actually walking with him, getting to experience his presence and him directing your steps is far greater than the life you can build for yourself. Okay? And so for you to say, okay, eternity, that's for Jesus, but this life is for me. I'm going to live how I want to now, and then in heaven I'll spend that with Jesus. You're missing the boat. And you're also, in a way, not even in a way, you're mistreating the Savior as well. You're taking advantage of him. You ever have someone who just wanted to be around you for what they could get out of you? Fair weather friends that just show up whenever they need you. You see their name come up on the caller ID on your phone and you're like, oh, wonder what they want now. I bet they're going to ask me for money. And he's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, great. How are you? Oh, I haven't seen you in so long. I've been so busy. But, you know, I got a problem. My car broke down. I was wondering if you could loan me $50. I knew it. I only hear from them whenever they need something. You realize that's how a lot of people treat God. They're not actually walking with him. They don't actually have a relationship with him. They're just wanting what he has to offer. Okay, anyway, enough meddling. Okay, so going through this series has hopefully given you a good foundation in understanding God's word and applying it to your life. But don't stop now. This is just the beginning of a lifelong journey of continuing in God's word. And so as we talked about before, continuing, making this a journey that lasts till we see him face to face. So that whenever we go to the grave, we can say, I have finished my course. Okay, so our first blank of the day here at the bottom of the page is receive. Receive the word. So if we're going to continue in the word, we must receive the word. Maintain a spirit that is teachable and receptive to the word of God. Receive it with a ready mind and search it with a hungry heart. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And this is a verse, I don't know, for a long time I was kind of stuck on this verse and brought it out regularly. And then here lately, maybe I haven't said it as much, but still a great one. But Acts 17 and 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so that's a reference to the church at Berea. Whenever Paul showed up at Berea, he had been kicked out of Thessalonica. They were chasing him out of town. They didn't want to hear anything that he had to say. But whenever he came to Berea, he went into the synagogue. He opened up the word of God and he started teaching them from the word of God and drawing connections and saying, this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus in this way. And whenever this was spoken, it was talking about this. And he was giving them an understanding about what the Bible was saying back in the Old Testament and how Christ was the fulfillment and they needed to put their faith in Christ. And it says that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they took a look at the scriptures and they weighed it out. They're like, is what he's saying actually true? And that's how we should be as Christians. Even whenever you come to church, whenever you open up your Bibles, you have them on your laps, and as I'm preaching and teaching God's word, you should be looking in it and saying, does what he says, does it line up with scripture? Fact check me, right? Not the way that Facebook does. But fact check me. Say, is what he is saying true? And if it isn't, then challenge me on it, right? Because I'm not infallible. And so anyway, you need to be looking at it for yourself. Don't take anyone's word for something just because they say it. If you're watching it online and just because they are a well-known or revered pastor, don't take everything that they say as being the gospel. Look at your Bible yourself and say, does that line up with Scripture? And I think that's why so many people have been led astray today is people see someone that is in a position, they've got, you know, they're with the Bible behind a pulpit, and they're claiming, thus saith the word of God, whenever it doesn't actually say that. And they're using the position, and they're using people's respect for that position to say basically whatever they want to say. And so it's up to the congregation. It's up to the individual Christians to say, does what he's saying line up with the Word of God? I think some of that comes back to people being ignorant of God's Word as well. It's a lot easier just to be spoon-fed. It's a lot easier for just say, okay, you tell me what I need to know, and then I won't have to look for myself. That's lazy, right? But if people are ignorant of God's Word, then the preacher can get up, say whatever he wants to, and they have no clue because they haven't been reading it. They haven't been studying it. They don't know, right? And that's dangerous. Okay. Any comments or anything so far? Okay. So whenever you hear God's Word preached or taught, remember to look at the or look past the messenger to the authority of God's Word itself. Approach God's Word with a willingness to receive and obey even before you hear a specific message from it. And so that gets into our attitude toward the Word of God, right? Though this hasn't been my experience very often, I know for most preachers it has been, that you can preach a message, and after service, two different people will come up to you, and one of them say, that's the worst message I ever heard. Didn't get a thing from it. And then someone else will come up to them and say, that was exactly what I was needing. That spoke to my heart. Right?
Yes.
Like I said, that's not been my experience too much because I don't hear much of anything. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't hear complaints. But anyway, how is it that from the same sermon, from the same preacher, from the same service, you can have two people, one person has helped tremendously, and one person says, I got nothing. It all has to do with if the person is receptive. It all depends on the attitude they approach the Word of God with. Because even a poor preacher, God can still use to help someone if they are looking for something from that service. If you show up to church to check it off the box, if you come with the expectation that, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to come, I'm going to put in my time, and I'm going to leave, probably not going to get anything out of it anyway, you won't get anything out of it. That's just the way it is. But if you come and say, okay, God, it's your day, I'm going to church, I'm going to hear from your Word, and I need something from you, and you prepared your heart, and you are expecting something, and you are seeking something from it, guess what? You're probably going to get something. Just the way it is. And I've used the illustration before. Whenever you're hungry, everything tastes nice. You ever notice that? The more hungry you are, the nicer things taste. But whenever you are full, you can be full of all kinds of stuff. You can be full of yourself. You can be full of the world. You can be full of all these other things. And you come in and you're like, nah, I'm already saturated. I'm already full. Nothing tastes good. And sometimes that's where we're at. So what is our attitude when we approach the Word of God? What is the attitude whenever we approach the teaching and preaching of God's Word? If your attitude as you're coming out of church every morning is like, oh, he's going to go and drone on for an hour and a half, you're probably not going to get anything. So anyway.
I wanted to ask a question because I find often when we talk about the Word of God, we would say, like, read your Bible, day and night, or whatever. But I think when the Scripture talks about the Bible, it often uses very active words like meditate, even talking about, like, they examined. It didn't say they just read it. So I wanted to ask, because I find for myself, when I try to set a really good routine of, like, either read it first thing in the morning or just before bed, I wake up, I read the words. By lunchtime, ask me what I read. I don't remember. So I guess it's the question around how best to act, like to incorporate the reading of the Word in our lives in a way that's more active in the way that the Bible describes it.
Okay. Well, one thing that you bring out there is different approaches to the Word of God. There's the one of reading, and I think it is good to read God's Word because if nothing else, as you're reading it, it's at least, I've heard it compared to being like a filter. The water passes through it and doesn't retain any of it, but still it's cleaning, you know? And so it does have that effect. And I think it's good for us to read God's Word. I'm not saying read so much or whatever, but we have to find out individually what works for us. And I heard an illustration, I think it was this past week, about how every culture eats differently. And they said they went to India the first time, and they said the Indians will eat everything with their fingers. They have no utensils. It's everything's with their fingers. And so that was kind of disconcerting for them the first time they saw it, is because they would just pick it up and they'd just be eating with their fingers. Then they went to Brazil, and they don't eat anything with their fingers. It's utensils for everything. Okay. And then for Americans, and I think Irish, it's somewhere in between. We do a combination of fingers and utensils. But anyway, the point in that is they had different ways of getting food to themselves. And all of them were valid. All of them work. It's like, okay, this one works to get food to me. So we need to examine ourselves and say, okay, how can I approach God's word that's going to best work with my routine, with my personality, with the way that I learn? It can be listening to God's word. It can be reading and listening at the same time. It can be taking out maybe just a selected verse or group of verses and start working on committing those to memory. It can be having a time and saying, okay, rather than reading a certain amount, I'm going to take and I want to spend so long of a time, I want to study this passage. I want to look and I want to understand each word and having Bible study. It can be a combination. Say, okay, I want to get up and I want to start the day with God's word, and I want to go through and I'm going to read a chapter before I ever get started. I'm going to read, I'm going to pray. That's going to be my beginning for the day. But sometime throughout the day, I want to look at God's word again and maybe read a specific passage and say, okay, I want to think on this now. And then with what you were saying with actions associated with it, there's also volition associated with it. It has to be intentional. And so if you're meditating on it, that means you're constantly bringing it up to mind. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to take this passage, and throughout this day, I'm going to bring it up to my mind. And I've known of people who would like take an index card, and they would write out a verse, and they would put it on their refrigerator, or they'd put it on the visor in the car, or they would put it somewhere where they're going to be seeing it throughout the day. And every time they look at that, they're remembering that verse, and they're thinking on it. And so there's different ways that you can do that and get it before you. We can even look back in the time of the Bible. The Jews would have different scriptures that they would have written at different places. They'd have it on the doorpost. They'd have it, on different pieces of jewelry and things. They'd have it in different places in their house to cause them to keep being brought back to the Word of God and different aspects about the Word of God. And so there are ways that you can incorporate it, but whenever your love and your desire is on God and on His Word, you find ways to get it into yourself that stick. And so I definitely don't want to do like a one-size-fits-all, but it's ways of getting it in. And I've known people who will just, they'll take a book and they'll read through a book over and over and over and over. And they'll say, okay, this month I'm going to read through the Gospel of Matthew over and over and over. And they'll read it, 20 times in the month. And if that's what they want to do, if that works for them, then praise the Lord for it. I know some that'll read a little bit in the morning, or a little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament, Psalm, Proverbs, different things like that. For several years, I've been in the habit of, yearly Bible reading plan. I do that, but I'm also studying for Sunday school. I'm studying for preaching. I'm studying for Wednesday night. I'm doing these different things. I'm listening to preaching throughout the week. And so I'm constantly immersing myself in God's Word. And now my job requires that of me. And you can't say, well, that's your job and not mine. Well, we look for different ways. It's like, okay, I'm going to read God's Word, but I'm going to find different times to study it. Maybe there's things that you are going through and it's like, okay, I want to know more about this. There's a topic that you're interested in. What does God's Word say about this? I'm going through this season of life. What can I find that relates to that? And look for those things that resonate with you is a good way to do it. Things that speak to the time in your life that you're going through, right? The ones that are parents. Okay, well, what does the Bible say about raising kids? Let's look at passages where there's parenting going on. Let's look at relationships between parents and kids. Let's look at Proverbs that talk about raising kids, right? So you can do that. Some of the younger ones that are looking at, marriage and different things in the future. Well, what's things that happen, or what's things that speak about relationships and stuff? You're having trouble at work. Let's look at some passages that have to do with our attitude toward our employers and toward our coworkers and things. And so those are things that we can put in our mind and continue to think on and meditate on, right? Does any of that help or make sense? Okay. And so it's not so much as, okay, I've got to do it this way. It's, I need to have more of a focus on God's word. How can I do that? Okay. Anyone else have any comments on it?
I was just going to say, what I tend to do is I have a two-year reading plan that I go through year after year, so 2 years. And like you're saying, oftentimes you're reading just to tick the box over this. Mm-hmm. But we used to tell our children when we were doing a Bible study with them in the evening that, you know, just as we eat three times a day, we eat the Word of God. And it's not always that tasty. Sometimes it's just like, oh, no, not lentils again or whatever, you know. So, but it was it's a good habit to get into because you will, you do learn the Bible through reading it that way, even though it can be a bit dry. But just as you were saying there, everyone has always got something going on in their life, whether it's work or whether what's going on in the country or whatever, or just some personal battle you have. And then I tend to try and find a scripture that speaks to that. Are we getting something fresh every day? Probably not, but we are getting nutrition. Spiritual nutrition every day, and that's what counts for me.
Well, I heard the illustration go along with that just like Les and I have been married for 20 years, and through that 20 years, she's cooked a lot of meals for me. And not really any of them stand out in my mind, very few, but they've done their job, right? And so that's the idea behind it as well, is that being in God's Word is going to make more of a difference than what you think. So I don't want to condemn that, okay, you've read through the Bible and it's like I'm looking back and I can't remember what I even read. That doesn't mean to stop doing it or that you failed. But our goal should be not just to tick it off the, you know, check the box, but to gain understanding with it too. But I think it needs to be a daily thing because we are creatures of habit. We need to have good habits because, trust me, you've got bad ones, right? We all do. Okay, very good.
So, do you think it's important to read it first thing in the morning?
Well, that's going to be up to each individual person. I think it's a good idea because it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day. But then I also realize if someone's working and they're getting up at like 3 a.m. and they have to be at work by 4, it might be difficult for you to say, okay, well, I've got to make time in the morning. Then also there's a difference. Some people are morning people, some people are evening people. And if your brain is just not working of a morning, then that's probably not the best time for you to do it. But if you're like, okay, I'm alert and I'm at my best at 10 o'clock at night, then do it then. But do it at the time whenever you are most able to. And it may not be that there's a slot during your day that just is going to be perfect and fit. Like with Les, she's always very busy, Melody and the kids and everything going on. She's got plenty of responsibilities. And if she just says, oh, I've got this window of time that is completely free where I'm free of distractions, there's nothing going on, and I'm going to use that. No, that doesn't happen. And so sometimes you have to intentionally mark out a little bit of time, but figure out when's the best time where I can give this my undivided attention. Whether it's 10 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, like I said, even if you can do 10 minutes and say, okay, I'm going to read a few verses, I'm going to spend a few minutes of prayer, but I'm going to focus on that alone for this 10-minute section of time, and then the rest of the day, right? So, yeah, I'm not going to say anything one size fits all. It's going to be how am I wired, and when is this going to make the most difference for me? I will say with prayer, I think it's a really good idea to start your day in prayer. Doesn't mean you have to hit your knees and pray for half an hour, but start out the day and say, Lord, thank you for another day. I need your help today. Help me throughout this day. Watch over me. Go about. Right? Just kind of invite him along on the journey throughout the day. It's a good way to start. Anything else? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So in that verse, he is saying a word of praise, a word of thanks here, because they received. They were receptive. Remember, I said your appetite's going to determine what you get out of it. And he says you received the word of God, and then it says that it was effectual. Whenever you are receptive to it, whenever you have the right attitude toward it, it's going to make a difference. Okay? So the next thing that we see here, study the word. So your blank there is study. So receive it and study it. And so we've kind of covered this a little bit already in what we've discussed, but I want to go ahead and look at it here. But study the word, be a student of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? So study. And that takes a little bit more effort, doesn't it? It's looking at it and saying, okay, what was God communicating through this? What was the author trying to communicate whenever this was written? And think about it for a little bit. Study it out and say, okay, well, what's the implications for my life? And so we'll see the application here in a minute. But so read it daily so you can apply it faithfully. Remember to make Bible reading, memory, and study part of regular routines of your life. And as this is going to be a little bit repetitive because of what we've already discussed, but for our first heading under this, Bible reading, it's pointing out that there is a couple different Bible reading plans that are in the Continue book and yearly Bible reading plans and things like that. We also, I think there are one now. Oh, there it is. Have a Bible reading plan up here as well. There's plenty of them online. The Bible app that I use, it's got a thing where you can do it digitally and have a Bible reading plan and check it off and things. So there's all sorts of tools that we have to read and to study the Word of God. Let's see. Okay, so the rest of that paragraph talks about just different Bible reading plans and ways to keep yourself accountable. It's good to have some sort of a plan because, as the old saying goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so if you just say, okay, well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. But where are you going to read your Bible? When are you going to read your Bible? If you just say, I'm going to read my Bible every day, what's going to end up happening is you're going to pull your head at night and say, oh, man, I didn't do it. It's not going to happen. So you need to be intentional about it. And then if you come to the Word of God, like, okay, I need to read. This is my time. I'm going to read my Bible today. And then you flip the Bible open. It's like, okay, I've got 66 books. I've got thousands of chapters. Where am I going to read? You can do the method of, I don't advise it. And even, okay, if you're one of the ones that get caught up in certain books, it's like, okay, I do good in Genesis and Exodus, and then you get to Leviticus, and that's about where I fail. Okay? Nothing says that you have to start at the beginning and read through. Okay? Especially if you're struggling to have a consistent relationship with God's Word. Nothing says that you have to start at the beginning and read it through. Nothing says that you have to read every book the first time through. Okay? I believe all of God's Word is profitable, but if you're having trouble with developing a relationship with God's Word, there's nothing wrong with reading your favorite books over and over again. Right? Okay. I'm just putting that out there, giving, not that you need it from me, but giving you permission in your minds, okay, to say, I don't have to do it a certain way. But the important thing is that you are consuming God's Word and you're getting a relationship with His Word. Okay, the next next heading here, Bible memory. If you haven't done so already, in the back of our Continue book, there are several extra sections. And there is Appendix C, which provides many scripture verses arranged under topics. And so you can set goals of memorizing scriptures according to topic, according to what you're going through. We talked about that a minute ago. And it's not even necessarily memorizing, but even if you're studying or if you're trying to find verses to meditate on, there is a section that has an alphabetical list of topics with multiple scriptures that go with each of those topics. And so you can be reading through those and meditating on those and trying to commit those to memory as well. And I say trying because I know my memory isn't what I would like for it to be, and I don't memorize nearly like I would like to. Some people are extremely big on Bible memory. I commend them for that. Okay? That's great. Okay? But if that's something daunting for you, at least be reading and studying God's Word. Okay? I will say that people have more of a capacity for memory than what they think, though. Because believe me, whenever I hear a song from 20 years ago, I still know all the words. And that's unfortunate. Come on.
I'm sorry about being late.
No, you're fine. Okay, and then the last section, or the last heading on that, Bible study, and we've already covered this leading up to this, but anyway, in Lesson 7, we looked at how to study your Bible, and as you finish the discipleship course, this would be a great time to choose a specific topic you would like and to study it on your own. So find a way to be in God's Word more, right? Okay, so we'll stop there. We still got another heading there at the top of page 284, but we'll quit with that. Does anyone else have anything this morning, any comments or questions or anything? Okay, well, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll take a break before we get into our preaching service. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we've had to just focus a little while on the importance of your word and how important it is that we make it a central part of our lives and be in your word, learning about you, Lord, and allowing you to instruct us through your word. And I just pray that you would help these things to sink down in our hearts, help us to prioritize them, Lord, and Lord, how much of a difference that they make in our lives when we do. Lord, we do ask you just to please be with the rest of our service here today. And Lord, have your will and your way in all of it. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And amen.